friends from college, talking about what's new with Los Angeles Clippers. There's always so much to discuss. Let's jump right in. It's LA Clips Forum.
Hey, Clippers.
It's LA Clips Forum with Jesse and Brian.
Welcome to the LA Clips Forum. My name is Brian Andrew. I'm here with a wonderful guest, Jake Barnes. How you doing, my friend?
What up? 2-2. Back to LA. Let's go.
Yes, yes. So I did say we were going to review game three. We had some technical difficulties. I was in Northern California. I was going to use my phone to record. It was not letting me. Jesse was in Mexico. And so, my review of that game is it sucked. And then we can now move on to game four. I got to give the team some credit because with the Kawhi news, which we'll get into later, there was this moment where I was like, you know what? It's this weird. I don't know. You could tell me. I don't know, but it's like as a fan, I'm now watching with a different perspective on the series, and it's like, okay, how far can Paul George and Harden carry us? But at the same, but like those championship aspirations, I'm not feeling it anymore. So it's, can we maybe give us the satisfaction of not having Luka have a series win on us? That would be awesome. But we had the 31 point lead. They made their run. They chipped away at it. Kyrie put them up one late in the fourth. And we ended up holding on with our two main stars, Harden and Paul George. What are your thoughts on the game?
Overall, just like great sense of urgency to start the game. That's the sense of urgency that they should always have to start the game, every single game. and incredible shot making. Honestly, like Paul and James, they just took over in that first half and did enough, you know, in that first half to really put us through to win this game. I was happy with also Terrence. I mean, you know, he does pass up still a lot of open shots in the corner that are literally inviting him to shoot open jump shots in the corner. And I mean, if he doesn't take them, we won't know if he can make them. So, you know, take them. But overall, like, great effort. And yeah, I'm happy with the win. 2-2. 2-2 is anybody's series. Obviously, like Brian said, the championship aspirations are like in the rear view because we're missing an all NBA player, you know, that literally scores 30 plus a game in the playoffs and is one of the top five players in the world in the playoffs and even in the NBA season if you want to make a case for it. So yeah. It's interesting.
You could say at least so far in this series that we've played better without him. So it's,
oh yeah, for sure.
So maybe it helps us in these next, you know, it's best out of three, these next three games. I mean, best two out of three. So maybe it helps, you know. I get the one player I do want to start off with would probably be Zoo. 4 rebounds is not good enough. I don't mind. It's one of those feelings, and you can tell me if you feel the same way. I feel like we can't play without Zoo because we're either too small or Mason's not good enough. Even though Mason did have a really good stretch in that fourth quarter, I was talking to you and a couple guys, and I was like, yeah, you know, why aren't we seeing Tice? And then all of a sudden, Mason has like two good plays in a row, and he's using up all his fouls. That's all you could ask. And but Zoo, I just feel like he's getting in his head a little bit. He's just not a force. He's arguably the best center on paper in the series, but he's playing like the fourth best center every night, behind Gafford, Lively, and Kleba, I would say, even. You know, the box score says otherwise. You could look at some of his other games, and you know, he's got double doubles, but he has not looked like the same Zoo since game one. I'm hoping though, Harden has found something with getting into the paint, making him respect a floater. And I think that might help Zoo a little bit because now the center is going to have to respect and creep up and commit to the Harden floater, and hopefully, you could get Zoo some easy baskets. But yeah, how do you feel about Zoo so far?
I think my major thing with Zoo is also like the way he's just being coached. I feel like he's like taken out at the wrong times, put back in at the wrong times, put
I
back in
agree.
like the tough lineups. Like Russ and Zoo, you're basically playing 3-on-5 on offense. Like if you're not dumping the ball to your center in 2024, then you're kind of playing 3-on-5, if that makes any sense. And or 4-on-5, but in Russ's case, 3-on-5 because they could just help off both of them. And all the Mavericks are really doing is shrinking the floor, bringing their big man over to help and rotate. Like this is literally all they're doing, and they're daring us to make threes. I think tonight they made 18 threes, the clips. And I think anytime you win the math game in the threes, you're gonna win. And that's been my whole thing. My whole thing has been, well, Zoo, this particular game was not that great. But they're also force feeding him. Like, stop force feeding him the ball. Stop giving him the ball underneath the rim, expecting him to go up vertically because he's just not an athletic center. Like he did this thing today where I think PG dropped a pass to him down low. He caught it, and then instead of just going up, he spun. He turned his back to spin and then goes up. And it's like, dude, you're giving the defender like a reactionary time to gather himself so he can contest. It's stuff like that. It's stuff
And
like that.
Dallas has had like for to Zoo's credit, Dallas has had three or four, sometimes like three or four guys on him once he gets the ball down low, right?
No, they
So
definitely go
it's
down.
like, but it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know. You gotta finish at the rim, or you gotta pass it out. You gotta do something with the ball.
And then
It's yeah.
I also like to like I think that just past game one, it's probably the defensive game plan. That's why I kind of just be like, I don't know, but all the over helping, over rotating. Like the soft contest at the rim, like the game is already being called super ticky-tacky, So, bro, just foul them, like actually foul them, because they're gonna foul you. Obviously, we've seen it. The PG Washington slap on the arm when he went up and they gave the ball back to Dallas. Like, bro, they're gonna foul the crap out of you. So, it's little moments like that where I'm just kind of like. We don't have an option to go small. I mean, we just don't with Kawhi out, and Ty Lue still does it anyway. And we don't play Tice for whatever reason, and we still haven't seen PJ, which we probably won't see in the series because we're four games in.
Yeah, I think if we weren't going to see him today, we're not going to see him at all.
I agree. So I would rule Tice and Mace, and I'm sorry, and PJ out. So Zoo just has to, in basketball when you play like. If your defender gets beat, bro, I mean, unless it, you're playing drop, whatever the case may be, just stop over helping. It's why they're getting
And
these lobs. It's why they're able to
yeah.
go to the paint.
And sometimes, like, I'm not saying this always works, because I know Kyrie and Luka are their own beasts. They've been playing great all four games for the most part. They might not be shooting to their potential always, but Kyrie's looked great all series. And yeah, so I'm pretty sure your natural thing is when they come into paint, they burn Harden and whoever. You go over and help, and then you're getting annoyed that the weak side defender is not getting your guy, when they miss the basket or whatever. But yeah, you're right. But sometimes, like, not helping forces Luka to put up a bad shot or something of that nature. It's just, you can't, if I could, and I know, like, so every basket's worth 2 points or whatever, but like, there is a difference, I think, when, especially if you're playing on the road. Luka getting into the paint, making a little floater, is different than him lobbing it up to Lively and getting the crowd involved. So, like, sometimes, and like, I'm not saying you don't at all, you don't help always. Like, you should help, but there was just moments, like in game three, and then even today, where Zoo's just overcommitting, and it's just leaving the centers open for an easy basket, and it's getting the crowd back into it.
Right.
And it's just like, all right, like, every once in a while, stay put and make Luka, because I know Luka's actually looking for the pass when he's actually getting in the
Yeah,
paint.
absolutely.
He's not looking for the shot. So if you take out the pass, you force him to shoot, he might hit it on the back of the rim, he might make it. But we can't let Luka have a formula to beat you. You got to kind of make, you got to throw different things at him. And that's what worked in game one a little bit, is like throwing different things at him. And then I think that we've gone away from that a little bit. On a positive note, Paul George came alive in the first half. He was a little slow. Not, he wasn't slow, but his offensive game didn't really pick up till late in the fourth quarter. Harden showed up. For all the, Harden disappears in the playoffs crowd. They're in shambles right now. Like, I understand we still have three more games in the series, but I feel like he's come here and he's done what he's supposed to do.
And more now, and more like now it's and more, so it's
He
not.
was supposed to just be a facilitator, get Kawhi and Paul George in some rhythm, put up close to 20 if you can, but really you're just there to, get people involved, make Zoo better, stuff like that. Like, that's what he's here to do. And then Kawhi is out, and he's putting 20 plus points up a night. He's making big baskets in the fourth quarter. And I don't know, me and you are Harden fans. When it got to the point in the fourth quarter where Harden's like, because usually Harden's trying to get everybody involved, but when Harden was finally just like telling everyone to back off, and he's like, I'm gonna take this, I'm gonna take over, and then he
Blowing.
just did it. It was beautiful to watch.
I mean, it's really casual. I know people like to make fun of him on the internet for the like his playoff lows, but if you look at his playoff catalog throughout the years, you look at the games, he has really high playoff highs, really high, big games. And I think that this is nothing he's never seen before. I mean, he's playing the Dallas Mavericks in round one. I just think he's already, for the people that are looking at this right now or here, they're listening to this and they go, "Dang, what is James Harden going to command in the open market?" I'm here to tell you, it's going to be $35 million a year, like off the top, and it's just like whether it's practical or not doesn't matter because he's playing like it, especially right now. He just played all season and now he's playing like it. So, I mean, big shout out to him, bro. 15 points in the fourth quarter, literally calling off people, giving me the isolation, going to the rim. Like, he did everything.
He literally did the same thing from different angles of the court like four times in a row.
Yeah. And, like, it's funny because in the season, that floater was like disgusting. But it's funny because last, like, I think yesterday they showed like video of him practicing the floater, and 5 of 6 today for the floater.
And that's one of those things where, a lot of people look at the Mavs and say, like, remember after game one, the famous Richard Jefferson stuff, and it's like, well, they can make adjustments now. But this is one of those things where it's like, we showed something late in the fourth quarter that if Jason Kidd is a good enough coach and his staff is good enough, they're gonna have to know that, like, oh, now Harden has that in his bag. And either that's going to hurt Dallas trying to adjust to it, or it's going to help Dallas trying to adjust to it. And Harden's a smart enough player to see what the defense is giving him. It's not Russ. Russ doesn't look at what the defense is giving him. He just
Yeah,
does. He just does shit.
100 miles, yeah.
Harden's going to look at what the defense gives him. And we'll see from there. As long as Paul George stays out of foul trouble, and Harden's good to go. Ty needs to figure out the Zoo thing. And then as long as our role player, at least if we have either between Powell, Coffee, and Mann, somebody who's at least shooting at roughly around 50% from three, if on perfectly, let's say if two or three of them could do that, that'd be awesome. You could even tell, like, even without Kawhi today, just having Amir Coffee out there with, like, fresh legs. Getting to his positions, playing
Helps.
defense.
Helps, bro.
Just having an able body out there.
All that helps.
And so, do you have any final thoughts on game four, maybe game five?
Quick shout out to Norman. I thought Norman had like a good couple defensive possessions, getting his hands in the passing lanes and stuff, not making it easy. Couple big threes that we needed. I know he had a big three in the fourth quarter. I believe it was in the fourth quarter or at the end of the third quarter, one of those. But I mean, as long as he just can keep the jump shot consistent and be that knockdown presence, that's all I care about. Literally.
Right.
And Terrence is, he's doing a good job on Luka. I mean, he is, you know, if he's Luka's under 45% for the from field goal for the series.
One last thing before God, I want to ask you about this because it's kind of like the zoo thing where it's like, we can't play without him, but at the same time, sometimes he's the reason why we're not playing well. You could say the same thing about Russ. Like, there's moments where it's like we feel like we can't play without him because Harden needs a rest or something of that nature. We're not going to play Bones. But then at the same time, he's the reason why he's giving Dallas momentum. He's making mistakes. He's shooting bad shots. And, sometimes he makes them and sometimes he doesn't. And, but for the most part, he doesn't. He turns the ball over. But then, he'll make a mistake. He'll have a bad foul, and then all of a sudden he'll steal the ball, get the ball back, and then he'll throw it away. It's just like
Chaos, bro. It's chaos.
it is chaos, and sometimes the chaos goes in your favor, and then obviously in game three it did not. How would you approach the Russ minutes?
So I'm under the belief that like he is absolutely vital, you know. So
He needs a play. It's
yeah, like
just.
I have talks to my friends like all the time, and we always speak about Russ, and they're Laker fans, so you know they when he's down bad, like you know they're on me about. Right, but my word for Russ is don't be efficient. Like the efficiency is the efficiency, you know. It's about being sufficient for him. Does that make sense?
All right,
Like
explain that.
be sufficient. Like
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't need you to be 6 for 8. You know, 1 for 2 from three with a 5 assists, 1 turnover. I don't need that. Just be sufficient, bro. If you score 2 points. But you have me with 6 boards and 4 assists, 1 turnover. That's fine. It's fine. Like I don't care about you scoring or your efficiency. Like last game, we saw him take 4 threes and they all clanked. And it's like, well, wouldn't you think that that's what the defense wants for you to shoot these open looks?
And what we saw a lot from Russ last year, I felt like, which it's funny because there's moments where you see it this year, but there's moments where he goes away from it. It's like when Harden's on the court, he feels like he needs to, spread out, which means now he has space, right? And there was a good play earlier where he actually went to the elbow and got the ball, and then he was able to feed it to Zoo, right? When Russ is in those situations, I feel like he should drive it in.
Yeah, he should. That's what like a normal basketball player would do.
Like, he's got space, drive it in, don't pull up, and see what the defense gives you. Like,
He can't help. He can't help it. He can't help it. Like
if the center moves up, dish it back to the Zoo. If no one gives you any space, maybe someone will kind of, because like Russ is athletic enough though to get to the paint himself
yeah,
if he wanted to.
absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
and if he could just, finish, that'd be great. But if not, kick it out, and it's just like I feel like Russ should use his athleticism to his advantage. Like, make the Dallas Mavericks defense bite, and if they don't, then make them pay for it. It's just I don't know. It's just like there's just moments where
I don't know what to say. I have a friend that he's a Miami Heat fan, and he actually wanted Russ to sign to them this past offseason, right? And he is talking to me about it now, and he's just kind of like, you know, Russ, when he's on the court, just gives me like really stubborn vibes. He's just stubborn. And I go, well, you know, for being a Hall of Fame player, maybe he senses, you know, he's close to the end of his career. And he's just letting it all fly. Like, but I am under the like discourse of fans that think that he is vital to the team. Like, he is absolutely vital. I mean, if he doesn't come out with some of this punch sometimes, maybe we're cooked. But in the way that technical and flagrant that he got last game, I think it served its purpose in this game, which is kind of weird. I think it got things leveled. I think it brings PG into this different mode, if that makes any sense. Harden could probably care less. Harden probably don't give a shit, but Harden's just like, all right, bro, like whatever. But
Yeah.
I think, I definitely think it amps the team a little bit to give that extra spiciness that it needs. I think.
I do think, and this was one of my concerns going into this game, was the Clippers do have a tendency to not respond to the public, to other teams disrespecting them. And I don't know if that's been, you have two players like Harden and Kawhi who could probably not give a shit, who are really good at, just like letting things go. Paul George and Russ are not those kind of players.
Yeah, I agree.
And you could tell Zoo's not either.
I agree.
And
Terrence too. Terrence also. Like, I don't think.
And so there is that sense of like, because this is the thing that kind of blows, like there's that standing on business PJ Washington thing, and it got a lot of coverage. But like what a lot of people are not talking about is like he got kicked out of the game just like Russ did. It's like he's also, you could tell PJ is just as emotionally, out of control in this series, not as Russ is almost. Like
He was trash today. PJ was trash.
you could tell PJ was not ready for game one, and he's front running when they do well, but you could tell he's getting frustrated when they're not doing well. And going back to your point, it's like, yeah, like Russ's actions might have cost them game three, but we were probably losing game three anyways. Just we came out looking like hot ass, but game four, we came in like we're not gonna allow these guys to go up 3-1.
I agree.
And then we allowed them to come back in the game, and then our stars took over. And there we go.
I think it sets a good tone. I think I mean, I'm not a fan of like what Russ did, but I definitely think that like sometimes you just need to like muck it up, if that makes any sense. I hate that it has to be that way, but sometimes.
Well, I do feel like I'm not gonna be that guy, because if I was a Dallas Mavericks fan, I think I'd be a big fan of Luka.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Luka, I'm a
but like I feel like he's doing things in this series that maybe he wasn't doing 2 years ago, and he's I don't want to compare him to Chris Paul necessarily. But he's sticking his leg out defensively, and making sure that like other players feel his knee, and he's when he's fouling hard when he goes up against big guys, and he is putting his arm late into people's heads and stuff like that. Now it looks like he's playing the ball, the old Chris Paul trickery that he used to do. But I'm not calling Luka dirty necessarily. I'm just saying that like Luka is doing these like little things, and I feel like eventually over time, like we need to start doing similar things. Like we need to foul Luka hard. You know what I mean? Like Mason Plumlee, when you go in for those six fouls, like you need, when he goes up to the basket, foul him hard.
I agree. I agree.
Make him not want to do it. And he might smile and smirk, and Mason Plumlee might get ejected.
Ooh.
But who gets, like, we
Part
don't, we
of the
trust
game,
me,
bro.
we don't need Mason.
Yeah, it's part of the game. I think that, like, to your point, I think that Luka definitely is kind of playing out of character a little bit. The efficiency will tell you. As great players don't just get locked up. Generational guys don't get locked up. It only happens when they're in their head. Anthony Davis doesn't get locked up. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, you can name it. They don't get locked up. I definitely think he's out of character. He's rushing things. The 1 for 9 from three will tell you that. I think that we definitely have some space in his head, rent free type thing. We definitely have some whatever, like real estate in his brain. We definitely.
Dallas is preparing for Kawhi again, kind of thing.
It's like.
It's like, oh well, that's 2 games without Kawhi, and it's, and if you look at it too from this perspective, and I know Kyrie's a vet, but Luka's still is in the prime of his career, but you're letting 2 34-year-old dudes just like,
Hey, no,
run game on you. Like
it's the
it's
old heads. The old heads are here, and they're still trying to put their stamp like on the game. And I think we just had the Kyrie game as well. I think that football. I think we had the Kyrie game right there. We might have had the Paul George game. We might have had the Harden game, but Harden seems to kind of be consistent. And to
Yeah.
me, it kind of feels like Paul George just got in the series.
Yeah.
Now Kyrie has been playing this whole time. And Luka's been playing. We haven't had the Luka game yet. I don't think so.
No.
But to that being said, I mean, you can have the game and they can lose. I mean, Kyrie just had a 40 ball and lost.
Yeah.
So, there's some good signs here. We'll see what we get to. Like,
I want to give some credit. I'm not going to give the credit that I'm not going to give credit to the Clippers for blowing a 31-point lead. I'm not going to do that. That shouldn't have been the case. But I will give them credit for when they did blow it. They didn't just, like, oh man, all right, well, yeah, Kawhi's hurt. That's the excuse. Let's just move on. Let's go back to LA,
tons of
whatever.
credit, tons of credit. You could tell that they want to keep playing and that they're in it. Whatever news we get from Kawhi in the next, I think they play Wednesday or Tuesday. Wednesday, right?
Yeah, I think it's actually a couple more days, yeah. Which,
Yeah, I think because they go back
yeah.
to, I think they give them 2 more days.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna look it up right now. You can finish your
Okay.
thought.
I'm definitely gonna go to that game five.
Yeah, it might be the last game at the crypto,
Yeah,
for
I
the
feel
Clippers.
that.
It might not be,
Yeah,
if
so I mean, we don't know what news will come out Monday, Tuesday. We don't know what's gonna happen. I fully expect Kawhi to be done for the playoffs. If you
I'm
ask
there too. I'm there. Yeah, it's
done, yeah.
there the only thing I could think of would be, and I'm just gonna be honest with you, if we made it to the finals and he was like, oh, I can maybe like come back late in that series, and I'm gonna be real with you about that. It's if we made it that far without him, I don't want to see him on the
I don't
court.
want to play. I don't have to play. No, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, if we made it that far without him, I don't want to see him.
Yeah.
So
And no, I think I don't expect to see him. So, we'll see if we can get the series. I do feel optimistic on the series. I think they could win it. I really think they could beat these guys. I think we. I don't know.
It's certain. If with Kawhi out and it's 2-2, best out of three, this series is as 50-50 as it gets.
Yeah, I think if we lose the series, well, Luka's the best player in the series anyway. That's my kind of thing. But realistically, I think they could win.
This series will be decided by 10 or less points.
Oh,
Like
I
it's.
think, yeah.
I combine over three games. I think it's gonna be yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be fire. Can't wait.
So yeah, we touch on it like really. So let's get on the Kawhi thing a little bit. So he was out today. He's gonna be out for probably the rest of the playoffs. Elephant in the room. I'm just gonna start off with it. He's available to be traded on July 8th. And the Clippers have to seriously be considering it. Now, the only thing that me and you were talking a little bit before the podcast started, that it's if his injury is really that bad, that might keep him from getting traded. No one's going to take a player that might not be able to play next season or something of that nature, but we'll see.
Wow, this is emotional. I'm totally talking off emotion. It's not fair to the fans, like the fans that have been here for years that give money to this team that watch day in and day out, watch all 82 games. I think I watched legit, like, I think 80 out of 82 this year. For us to go into the playoffs and it not even matter, kind of sucks. Kind of sad.
Like I said, I've said this on the pod before, like it makes the season feel like it's filler. You're telling me not to care about the next season if you do bring him back. I think that's what, and I hate to say that. I like Kawhi. I really do. It's just the idea of having a player that's not available in April. I just can't, I just won't fly. Like he had his ACL. We thought he might be able to come back, right? And then the next season, we're like, okay, he's recovering from the ACL, right? And then this season, he's playing back to backs. So we all jumped on the train of like, okay, we're good, we're ready to go. And then inflammation hits, and we're like, all right, that's fine. I guess you could survive inflammation. And then he comes back, looks like a shell of himself, and now he's just not going to play. And it's just like, all right, we honestly gave you three chances.
Right.
And the Clippers, Kawhi, snake oil salesman, it's just like you can't tell me to buy tickets and jerseys and things like that. And if I am buying jerseys, I'm not buying Kawhi jerseys. You know, it's like I honestly feel like, and maybe I'm speaking on behalf of like Clippers Twitter or whatever, or the diehard fans. Maybe the casual fans don't really care. I don't know. I don't talk to too many casual Clipper fans, to be honest with you. I don't think having Kawhi on the poster of Intuit Dome is going to sell more tickets at this point. And if anything, it might sell less tickets. So.
I definitely think that, like, dude, it's not fair to fans, bro.
Yeah,
The
it's just
fans of the team. It's just not fair.
it's not fair to the players on the team. It's not fair to Paul George. It's not fair to James Harden. If they want to go because of this, they have every right to go.
I agree.
If I'm the Clippers, I would try to talk them into staying and then letting them know that we're gonna try to shop Kawhi around July. Or
I think, like, to me, that's perfectly, it's just logical, bro. I
yeah.
mean, we've seen this happen with teams all throughout history. The Bulls and Derrick Rose, the Sixers with Ben Simmons. Like, we're legit seeing it with the Sixers and Ben Simmons, and we're seeing the Nets not able to move Ben's $40 million contract, or Ben still not even playing for them, and them having a $40 million contract just sitting there on their cap space being paid by insurance. You know, we're seeing Lonzo Ball right now. Like, it happens throughout NBA history, and it's not fair to the fans. It's not fair to the players on the team that are signing up for this over and over and over. But to your point, I mean, how can they sell this to fans anymore?
I just don't think you can. Like,
Like,
I honestly don't think you can.
how can you sell? And then, like,
I honestly
like,
think the Clippers have a better ch I've never felt this way. I can't believe I'm flipping 180 on this right now. I never felt this way. You have a better chance, I think, of selling tickets. And you know, people are gonna say you're stupid, Brian, but I'm just gonna be real about it. You have a better chance of selling tickets for games in November next year. With a rebuilded roster than with Kawhi on it, I think.
right. I mean,
I'm just being honest about it. And I'm not saying like Paul George and James Harden.
I think I agree with that.
That's whatever we decide to do with them and whatever they decide to do with us is whatever. But the Kawhi, I'm just talking about Kawhi single-handedly.
Right.
Not a needle mover anymore. And yeah, I
Yeah, I
think
agree.
we can't sit on the idea of Kawhi possibly being giving us a playoff run. Like he just hasn't done it, you know. And not to be cliche, but the best stat you could have, the best attribute you could have is availability, and he doesn't have that.
I just hate that this, you know, and we like honestly should do a pod on this, like, later when this is all culminated, about
Oh.
Lob City versus these guys,
Yeah.
like the way it all ends, the way it all goes and culminates. And I'm saying culminate, and the funny thing is it might not even culminate. God knows what's gonna happen in the summer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I am gonna be realistic. I don't know if the Clippers are gonna be able to sell Kawhi to another team.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be realistic. I don't know. Like maybe we do have to run it with him one more season, or maybe we have to start the season with him and maybe try to trade him in February, you know? Like, I don't know. But this I think officially put, and I know some fans and I know friends of ours have been on this boat for probably 2 seasons now, and you know I was one, you know, like when you go on a good stretch in G December or January, you're like, oh, maybe this is the year, and then you know certain things happen. So I do feel like I have more to say on this. I don't want to take away too much of the game four victory. I do think.
We'll wait on that. We'll wait on
Yeah,
that.
I think like we're gonna probably when the season's over, I think this is gonna be a discussion topic for until
The start of
something
the year,
till
honestly,
yeah,
right
till
now.
something
It
figures
is.
itself out. Like one simple, do you think he plays in the Olympics now?
Yes.
So okay. So
Yeah, I do. I do. I do. I really do.
so if you're the Clippers,
Yeah.
hypothetically,
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
Do you let him play in the do you convince Paul George and Harden like, hey, please come back? We're gonna let Kawhi play in the Olympics, and once he has a decent showing, or at least it shows that he's healthy, we're gonna trade him. Or do you feel like They could trade him before the Olympics start.
You know, fans really need to understand Paul George and Harden and what they bring to a team. And it's not just the numbers and the stats and the play on the court. It's everything. They bring the fans, or like the stands, quotation mark. They bring jersey sales. They bring tickets. They bring, regardless of what anyone says, Russell Westbrook brings tickets. I mean, people love Russell Westbrook, you know, and for LAC to get him on the minimum is a bargain. I think, I mean, if I'm LAC, like, I know I don't have a say. Kawhi's going to do what Kawhi wants. And if Kawhi says, I'm going to play Team USA, he's going to play. And there's no way that he would have signed up and he would have passed that Team USA physical without like clearance. And maybe the injury right that he has just can't be put like in like a microscope for the next week or 2 weeks. That's why he can't really play. Maybe he needs 2 months out instead of 1 month. And you know, they expect him to be good for August. I think it's August, right?
Yeah, usually it's like
July, August, or something
usually
like
it's
that.
like the first couple of weeks of August,
So if
but
that's the case, then maybe, you know, he feels and his team knows, his doctors know that he'll be good for August. And so I don't know, bro. I just think I would love to bring back PG and Harden. It's hard to get winning players. It's hard to not be the Brooklyn Nets right now, where you're just in shambles. They have no draft picks of their own. Like it's the poverty part of basketball, you know. And personally, what I would do, but who knows?
we do have picks, they're just swaps.
Yeah.
So like that's the thing. Like we can't go out there and just suck the sock. Like we're not gonna get a lottery pick if we suck. You know, but we could, you know, we'll still have first round picks. We just gotta hit on one of them. Yeah, it's one of those things where like it's like situations like this, and I'm not saying this guy's better or any means, but like someone like DeMar DeRozan would have been playing today. And he would have been healthy and he would have been ready to go.
I agree. And like, I hate that I even have to bring up someone like of the DeRozan's caliber to Kawhi Leonard, you know, because like it sucks. Like it sucks, you know.
Because
It's
like me and you have actually had this discussion about Paul George, and we've been like, well, if you traded Paul George or you did a sign and trade for Paul George in the offseason, are you really bringing back a player who's better than Paul George? And then like, you know, that's a loser's mentality. But like now I think we're in the thing is like Paul George for the most part plays. So I think it's like, yeah, he's missed some playoff series and stuff like that. And he had like COVID that one time we had the play-in tournament and stuff like that. But so far, you know, he's the one who's led us on our longest run, and then, you know, he's here today. So, he has that on Kawhi, and I think now it's like, could we have gotten maybe not an all NBA player, but an all-star caliber player that, you know, at least plays? Like, how better would our team be?
I mean, the Bulls are over here trading for Zach LaVine, and Zach LaVine has done nothing his whole career. I don't think he's even sniffed the playoff. I literally use him as an example because he makes a lot of bread. He makes more than PG does right now, and he's not in the playoffs. And they were going to trade him to the Pistons, and he decided to get surgery instead. I mean, this is all fact. So I think, you know, there's a difference between, and I hate that it even has to go here, like, but it's a difference between soft tissue injuries and accidental. So Lu Dort fell into PG's knee, completely accidental. He was on pace to make the playoffs that year and on pace to play 65 plus games.
And he probably wouldn't have played in the second round if Kawhi would have finished that series.
Oh, I mean, we were definitely getting Phoenix out of there. I mean, look at them right now. I can't wait to see the funeral in a little bit, but you go look at, you know, just Kawhi, it's just soft tissue. Like
It is this
the
is
most
it,
tragic. It's the most tragic thing. Like it's tragic.
And I think like the thing about the Kawhi thing more so is that like we tried everything. We tried no back-to-backs. We tried giving him rest. We've tried all these other things. And then we even said like maybe it's better if he just plays on it, so it's always loose. And then even then, if he got inflammation. It's
I agree.
like Kawhi could shut me up. He could come back in the next round or something. You know, Kawhi. Kawhi. But at the same, but you know, he's given us enough on paper now to. presume that, you know, maybe the team's better off without him.
Yeah,
You
it's
know,
been.
he makes up a like a fourth of our like a fourth or a third of our cap. Like that money could be used somewhere else, you
He's a
know.
great player, bro. He's a great player. Amazing when he plays. I always call him Kobe, like Kobe Leonard, and what is it, Jordan and stuff like that. But really, like it's a shame. I just feel for the fans. Obviously, you guys have seen me work for the Clippers before and work with them before, and the fan base, it's not what you guys think. Yeah, it's a big fan base, but it's also very intimate compared to, we're like legit partners to the biggest basketball franchise in the world, most casual fans that think that if you shoot a layup, it's a three, like literally. I don't know nothing about basketball, but Clipper fans are educated fans. I believe fans that really watch the game, dissect the game, and they love their players because we're it's a smaller franchise. It's a smaller fan base, and it's just not fair to them. And whatever they have to do to figure it out, figure it out.
I think it would. I don't want to start using the word malpractice and stuff like that, but the Clippers need to be very delicate, I think, this offseason, because if they don't handle this correctly, we may lose Harden and Paul George to save the face of Kawhi, who may not even play.
And that's what we don't want. What we don't want is like, yeah, it's cool in an 82 game season. These older veteran players, they probably feel like, yo, we got to play again and again and again and again. It's different, bro. When they're locked into these type of scenarios, into these playoff scenarios, like I speak to some of the players, like, bro, they're not answering phone calls. They're not answering. Like they're locked in. It's a different type of focus, a different type of mentality. And yeah, we can get on PG for a game against the Houston Rockets in February. Oh my God, he playing like I think they're calling him like Paul Batum and stuff like that. Whatever. Oh, James, he was at the strip club last night going crazy, blah, blah, blah. They don't take into account their older players, and that just matters. Like, not everybody is LeBron James. There's only one LeBron James.
And you know what? I'm
Even
not.
he'd be like on whatever sometimes.
And I would say not every season's linear. You know, like
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true.
if you asked us 2 months ago, like out of the big three, which one you're keeping, we would have all said Kawhi.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. It's a reactionary sport, read and react sport. It's what basketball is, read and react. So
Like
it is what it is.
Kawhi could honestly come back in 2 to 3 weeks. If let's just say we survive Dallas, he comes back, he's the same Kawhi as old, and we would have been like, oh yeah, cool, all right, cool, let's bring this three back again next season. But right now, no. We just can't do it anymore.
No, I mean, I'm whatever the franchise wants to move forward with, do what they have to do. I know if we win this series, maybe there will be more leniency. Maybe, don't know. If they don't, then God knows what will happen. All I know is
I
I
don't think
expect
the
fireworks.
I don't and I don't think the Clippers understand what's going to happen. If we do win the series, we're going to play against OKC. And it would be then Paul George versus SGA. And I'm going to go on paper now and say we already lost
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
the trade. But you know, I used to argue for Paul George, but like it's now less about that. It's just like, you know what, like we're now going head to head with them in the playoffs without Kawhi, without the reason we even got Paul George, and we'll see where they lie. Now, if we win the series, I guess maybe we won the trade,
Dude, it's just whatever it takes. We'll see whatever it takes from these guys. I do have optimism in the Clippers, like in the front office, though, because they've never shown me that they're not aggressive and they don't know how to fix a problem. So,
Yeah, it seems. I just don't want there to be some blind loyalty to Kawhi.
oh, we don't know that I have no idea.
Yeah,
No idea.
that's my only concern. Do you have any final thoughts before we head out and we
Game
move on to
five,
game
man.
five?
Everybody that go into game five, I think I'm gonna go to game five. Get crazy, go crazy, get loud, like have fun, go get drunk, like go just go insane. It's gonna be a tense, crazy, insane game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And well, yeah, like I said, we'll probably be without Kawhi. I think I know that for a fact. So yeah, James, Paul George, Zoo. I think Zoo really needs the crowd to get behind him for this game.
Nah, man, hype him up. Everybody needs to hype these guys up. The crowd has to be crazy. Like, I'm asking y'all. Me, when I pull up with my friends, my girl, whatever, we go crazy in the crowd. Why? Because why not? Like, it's important. Like, you heard Dallas today. Dallas was rocking a little bit.
Oh yeah, there was a moment where I was like, the crowd's going pretty crazy for still being down like 25 points,
Oh, they
and
were
then
rocking.
but it helped. It helped them get the back in.
Rocking. We need the crowd to be insane. I was at the Laker game last night and the crowd stinks. It stinks. You know, I think it's just because of the Lakers. Like, it's just, you know, the casual fan baseness is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
You know,
Do you feel like it's that, or do you think it was because they were down 3-0 and it was kind of like a useless game?
not because people were like waving their flags and like, you know, they the fans like to the left and in front of me were like, come on, you know, screaming for fouls and stuff. But I just think it's a very like celeb row type thing.
Oh, gotcha.
And I think it's like too cool for school type thing. Nah, get loud, go crazy, have fun. I'm gonna be in there, I'm gonna be going crazy. So yeah.
And Jesse should be back for that episode. I don't want to make any false promises, he's a busy person. But yeah, all right. You can find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts. You can find us on X at LA Clips Forum. You can find Jake on X as well.
Jake Barnes, JKEBRNS.
There we go. Please stop by. Please say hi. And yeah, and maybe leave some comments on what you think the Clippers should do to get the next at least two out of the next three, and then even leave your comments on what they should do with Kawhi in the offseason.
Oh, that's.
But yeah, we appreciate you. You guys could be doing anything with your time, especially on a Sunday evening, but you're spending it with us, and we appreciate it. We're out.
Peace.